later date, there are fiscal impacts to a number of the sections of the bill that are not necessarily what we would say would recommend holding back the bill. They can be resolved one way or another, either through a rebalance or they're not so large that they couldn't be resolved through emergency board action if absolutely necessary. But there were a couple of elements of the bill that inadvertently would have caused substantial costs to the state. And so our proposed amendments to the bill, you see, these are not drafted by council. We have some drafted by council, but they changed the substance of the bill in a way that would not have been the intent, I don't think, of the chair or the substantive committee. And so these, I think, will do the trick. On page 2 of House Bill 2700, this is the section that deals with copay. This bill charges a $2 copay on services, and there are, you'll note, starts on line 19, there are some exceptions that are noted after that. Emergency services, services of a preventative nature, prescription drugs, services related to a referral from a primary care physician. And then after that line 29, we are proposing that there be an insert of an E, small E, that says, that adds to that list the proposed amendment that I've handed out to you that says any individual who is eligible for receiving state assistance for services provided by, and then it lists nursing facilities as defined in ORS 442015, which is attached to the back, home and community-based services under waivers authorized by Section 915 of the Social Security Act, licensed residential facilities as defined in ORS 443405 through 10, adult foster homes as defined in ORS 443705, or services provided to children under the age of 21 who are in the state's care and custody or receiving adoption or guardianship assistance. The purpose of these amendments is to include in the exclusions of the copay those copays that it would be the obligation of the state to pay, and so that the state would not be incurring a cost to pay copays for these people that are eligible for the health plan.
Are there questions about that amendment?
Okay. The second amendment that we would propose is on page 5 of the A and Growth version of the bill, after line 2, and you'll see that my original draft of our proposed amendments has a blank line, and I've had passed out to you language just like this that would be that would go on that line. The purpose of this amendment, this subsection of Section 9, which talks about ancillary services. Ancillary services are vision exams, medical supplies and equipment, speech and language therapy, hearing therapy and hearing aids, physical therapy and occupational therapy. But what subsection 3 of Section 9 does is, in somewhat almost double negative wording, but the effect is that it says that the benefits that are determined for these ancillary services can be no more generous than the benefits that are available to public employees through the Public Employers Benefit Board basic health care plan. In general, this would be fine except as it relates to disabled persons and of the Senior Disabled Services Division or the developmentally disabled clients of the Mental Health and Developmental Disability Services Division. And so that's what this wording would do, would exempt those folks from that subsection 3 of Section 9, so that the their plans, their benefit plans could accommodate within the health plan the kinds of extraordinary ancillary services that that population would need. This is page 5. Line, after line 2, there would be a small A, or there could be a number 5 that would be added in there, which would probably be even better, that would say benefit limitations established under this section shall not be applied to clients also determined eligible under Title II, Social Security Disability Insurance, or Title of 16 Supplemental Security Income of the Social Security Act. And that would encompass both disabled persons and the developmentally disabled persons that need extraordinary benefits and ancillary in the ancillary services area. Then on page 8 of the AN Growth bill, on line 33, after the word authority in Oregon Youth Authority, we propose to add or the State Office for Services to Children and Families. The purpose in adding that is because there are some children under the care and custody of the State Office of Services, Children and Families that are out of place, out of state. And so this would not preclude their coverage. So that takes care of that portion. Then because the Department of Human Resources budget that was passed out of the full Committee of Ways and Means restores dental, adult dental coverage, then we propose to entirely eliminate sections 18 and 19 of the AN Growth version, because those are the sections that would have eliminated the adult dental coverage. That goes all the way from page 8, the bottom part of page 8, 138 on page 8, through line 6 on page 8. Then the other section of the bill that was of primary concern to the legislative office was in terms of a potential fiscal impact was section 24. And this section is one that provides 60 days written notice of any proposed change to the reimbursement rates for covered services under the contract with any prepaid managed health care contractor. It then allows an appeal process through the director's office and then on a contested case basis and all the way through to a final judicial review. We have proposed that this section be made to conform with the contract that the workers' group of contractors has agreed to. Which was a 30 days written notice. I checked with Senator Bryant, who was the proposer of this amendment, and he would prefer that the 60 days stay in there, but he is agreeable to having subsection 4 removed. Subsection 4 would have stayed any kind of rate change or benefit change all the way through the judicial appeal process, which would have made it virtually impossible for the legislature to take any relatively rapid action to take budgetary actions if you have a budget problem, or even during a session if you determine, for instance, that you're not going to provide dental coverage or some other coverage, you would have to go through this appeals process all the way through and would not be able to make any change. The bill, as eliminating this stay, does not eliminate any of the appeals process, but it does allow the rate change or the benefit change to go forward during that time so that you're not losing months or even years in your ability to take budgetary action. So,
just a question here, but if I'm understanding you correctly, this does require that we give contractors a 60-day notice of changes so that they have time to accommodate things.
Yes, it does require that, and there will be some cost. The fiscal impact that we've done suggests that if there were as few as three appeals, that the cost of those appeals would be in the area of a couple hundred thousand dollars. For example, if there were appeals of the line changes that are in the budget now, because those will reduce provider rates, if those were appealed, then they would not be able to go into effect. And with this provision, you would not be able to even implement those changes until the final judicial review. With that out, at least you would not have to wait that long. You would have to wait the 60 days on it. And there would be an appeal opportunity for the providers, but you could go ahead in the meantime and affect the change. And so those are the amendments that we would propose to mitigate the fiscal impact of House Bill 2700.
Are there other questions about this?
So Section 24 is also removed?
No, Section 24 is not removed, only Subsection 4 on lines 35, 36, and 37.
Mm-hmm.
It was Senator Bryant's desire to keep, excuse me, I don't know, 36, yeah, that the rest of that section be kept as it is. And that's our recommendation.
Madam Chair, there's Hospital 27 is creating an interim task force.
Yes, it
does. Is that remain in the bill?
Yes.
Yes.
We really are only making, you want to go over the whole...
I can go over the bill. I had a...
If it is necessary, we can go over the bill, right? But it has been gone over.
I had a section-by-section review that I didn't... I forgot to have somebody copy to hand out to you.
Very nice.
And I will get it to you because it's very good. It's brief and it's a lot easier to deal with than the bill. In essence, what the first section of the bill does is provide that persons who are in the health plan will be enrolled in the same provider for 12 months unless there is a particular cause. As long as they're eligible for 12 months, their eligibility would still be redetermined every 6 months. That they wouldn't have without cause the option of just changing providers. And so that will not have any significant fiscal impact because the review indicated that there were only about, I think, less than 1.5% who changed without cause. But it still does give the providers some, as well as persons that are being covered, some greater stability in the plan where they are. Section 2 simply stipulates that OMAC will provide will apply for the appropriate waivers that are needed in order to implement this bill. Section 3 is one that changes the word persons to Oregon residents and then lists the kinds of documents that people can use to prove their residency. I think some of the HR agency divisions felt that there would be some fiscal impact to that, and Legislative Fiscal Office feels that if there is any, it would be minimal and that they ought to be able to absorb that, since it's just a matter of asking for a piece of documentation.
Yes. Madam Chair, I would move the LFO proposed amendment to House Bill 2700.
Representative Lewis moves the proposed amendments to House Bill 2700, articulated by Peggy Archer, and we have copies of those conceptual amendments. In addition, is the page dealing with Section 9, further defining the blank line that was in LFO's proposed amendments. Is there a discussion? Any objection? Hearing and seeing none, the amendments have been adopted. The chair would move House Bill 2700 as amended to the full committee with a due pass recommendation. Is there discussion? Any objection?
No.
Let the record show Representative Gross is a no on that. That passes. The Senate is under a call.
And so before you
carry that on the floor and the Senate floor, do you want to do this? Okay, but we do have a good detail on each side.
Yeah, I
just, by the way,
has been the work of a work group
throughout both the interim and the entire legislative session, and I think we have a very good product to help make the Oregon Health Plan a sustainable plan. So I'm excited about that.
I know you're in a hurry, as Tim and I have been trying to get to your committee to do this, we wanted to thank all the members, and many of you did miss our little party last week, and we're sorry that you did, and so we wanted to just hand out certificates of appreciation for Sam Stovak.
Thank you.
Representative Logan wants everybody to join us. Can you give me your name, Sam? Yes, ma'am. Okay, thanks. Senator Fisher and Senator Yee took your intro district, that was great. And finally, our chair and Blackford.
Thank you.
And we wanted to thank everybody on the committee for their hard work this session, and you've all done an excellent job, and this is the toughest committee, and you just done great.
Oh, same to you and Senator Kim.
Yeah.
We really do thank the co-chairs for their help, and you especially, Leslie, because you work real hard on the human resource budget as well. And I would like to thank the committee members for their help and cooperation in making very difficult choices. But I think overall we did do a good job. We didn't get to fund everything we'd like to, and we need to continue to look at those things. But it's been my pleasure to work with every one of you, and I thank you. We are going to recess, I think, because the Senate, if the House would do that, because the Senate has a call,
mm-hmm.
and they may need that for... before,
mm-hmm.
and we again have made some changes that I believe will help make this bill amenable to people. That's my understanding, mm-hmm. that we have some agreement on it, so I'm bringing it up once again. And
Madam Chair, members of the committee, I've just handed out the -6 amendment to Senate Bill 764. We had extensive discussion yesterday on the -4 amendment. This amendment is identical to the -4 amendment with two exceptions that are important. On line 14 of the amendment, you'll notice that it says in line 22 of the bill, delete 2 and insert 4 before administrative and insert total. What this does is to take care of the problem that was discussed yesterday about the limit to the total administrative costs for the commission and the Department of Transportation. I noted yesterday that there was already about 400,000, I think the exact number is somewhere in the neighborhood of $385,000 but this would take care of that conflict with the Department of Transportation budget bill.
The second thing on this particular subject, Chair, this doesn't do anything about future.
Madam Chair and Senator Fisher, that's correct.
I was in hopes that they'd leave that 2% in there and change it to the 4% for this time so they could have their budget, but they didn't see it when they do their planning for further continuation of this these programs, that they'd understand they weren't going to get as much money and they could be having a few-year time to trim down some of their expenses on the administration.
Yes. Madam Chair, the Commission could advise that the Department and get it, you know, reduce its administrative costs. That's certainly a possibility, but there is nothing in this change to M-6 that they have to.
That's just what I wanted to hear, because I would like to have on the record that our intention is that,
that it
does ratchet down.
Yeah. Although the amendment doesn't say that, and it will remain at the 4%, but if the commission would find that they believe it could be done for less, they could come and give that recommendation, and we could do it legislatively another time as well if we saw that.
Well, Madam Chair, thank you. I agree that we should leave this flexible. I respect the advice of the commission. I'm not close enough to say whether in the future 2 or 4% is going to be the right amount. So what the concern I have is that these are little ragged organizations that have a very heavy use of volunteers, and unless they get the right kind of backup and technical assistance from the state, they face serious liability issues in having volunteers transport disabled and frail persons, and so it may be that the commission will say that is needed in the future or not. And so I would look to the recommendation of the commission. If this administration could safely be reduced, then I think we would go along with it. So I would support the flexibility of not mandating in the future, but leaving the door open that we would hope that the commission would look at it.
So, Representative Ross, you're saying you don't want to mandate 4% either?
I do want to mandate 4% for this time, with the understanding that the commission could come back and recommend reduction, but it's not a mandated reduction in the future.
Right. Okay. So you're amenable to that.
I am supportive of the
it doesn't regulate the Department of Transportation or anything anyway, does it?
Madam Chair and Senator Fisher, the 4% cap does pertain to the Department of Transportation
right.
and the Commission.
Madam Chair, I wonder if John could show me what the heck says anything about the Department of Transportation.
Well, let's see. In Section 2, what the DASH 4 amendment and the DASH 6 amendment would do is to change the wording, I guess it's line 19, would read, all monies in the access to public transportation fund are continuously appropriated to the Department of Transportation for the purposes of funding. And skipping down to the next sentence, in each biennium of the amounts expended from the fund, not more than 4% shall be used to pay the total administrative expenses of the commission.
I got you. I wasn't, it's my fault, Madam Chair. I wasn't combining the 19 thing with line 22, and I apologize for that. I didn't fix that.
And what is the other change then?
The other change pertains to something I mentioned yesterday about the bill. The bill, as it stands, prohibits any fund distributions provided to transportation when their cost per trip or cost per mile, whichever is lower, exceeds 150% of the statewide average. The DASH 6 changes 150% to 300% statewide average.
Senator, Madam Chair, you know, I was looking at this morning, and one of the problems is the 300%, it doesn't affect anyone. And so with that in mind, my first thought was then, well, let's just take out, this is on page 3 of the bill, they award the grant and that whole section down to line 8, and we're all of the things that are discussed about that process. Because when you read through the bill, there's a continual emphasis upon efficiency and looking for other ways to deliver the maximum amount of rides. So all through the bill, we have things indicating that we want the commission to be looking for efficiencies and effective delivery of service. So my feeling is we could, is there a way to do that? It could we do like from line 3 down through 7 and just take that section out?
Madam Chair and Senator George, that's certainly possible. If we removed lines 3 or deleted lines 3 through 7 on the original bill, that would remove that provision altogether. And then we would also, in the dash 7 amendment, remove the reference to 300%
right.
of the dash 7.
Madam Chair, I have a question about that. The lines we're taking out, I'm looking at the original bill. Maybe I should be looking at another amendment. But it says the subsection does not apply to a provider of transportation that has an annual budget of less than $50,000 or has operated as a provider for less than 1 year. That was in there for evidently a purpose. And we're taking that out. So what are we doing by removing it? Why was it in there, and what happens if we take it out?
Madam Chair and Representative Loken, you're correct in saying the lines 6 and 7, they, in effect, limited the restriction. That is to say that this applies to all providers. No money is going to any provider that has exceeds 150% with two exceptions.
Okay.
One are those that have annual budgets of less than $50,000, so small providers, and have operated as a provider less than 1 year. So it modifies.
Well, if we take that whole section out, then we eliminate the exception.
It would be affected anyway.
So. Sorry.
No, that's
one of the guys cut to the chase. But essentially, just what
leaving them operating and leaving them funded.
Right. If we take all those out,
Madam Chair, those provisions were just strictly to ensure that somebody that was really small that might have it would have to have a vehicle, it would be expensive in the first place, wouldn't be able to buffer it over other costs, and also the fact startup costs are always more expensive than operating costs, generally speaking.
Mm-hmm.
So that was why those provisions were in there, and they're not needed now.
What I believe we need for the Dash 6 amendment is to find, were there any changes in the Dash 6 amendment that made the change that, or addressed the issue that you just did, Senator Jordan, with respect to page 3 and what you suggested we take.
Page 2 of amendments, line 25. Page 3 lines delete 50 and insert 300. And then we would be doing our, I guess, the conceptual amendment to just strike that full section.
And so,
subsection 4.
Clear then, it would be just line 25
would be out
on page 2 of the amendment.
Mm-hmm.
So we'd take that out. And also,
and there, Madam Chair, there may be some other things later in terms of renumbering sections.
All right.
Mm-hmm. But I see you will have to take care of it.
Okay.
And then also on the original bill.
Okay. Yeah, this part of the original bill. Okay. Well, we're in a work session.
I would move those changes.
Okay. Senator George has moved that we remove on the tented bill, page 3, lines 3 through 7, essentially getting rid of that limitation on the exhibit. Is there a discussion?
Yeah. Any more questions? And because I've been struggling with this bill, as you know, from yesterday, and I want
specifically to that.
Yes, to this. Let's see, this is page 2, subsection 5, and here is the concern that's behind my question. We're changing this program. There are already established programs in these areas, and are those people that are now being served going to continue to be served? Now, we have people in the metro area, we have people in rural areas, and they're being served by different providers. But is this going to take away
Slocum, we are under the discussion of removing lines 3-7 on page 3 of the printed bill.
But what are you moving then?
We're eliminating it.
And that's all you're talking about?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Fine. Okay. I thought you were moving these.
Is there an objection? Hearing and seeing none. That has been deleted. That means we also will be moving lines, removing, deleting line 25 of page 2. That also
of the amendment.
Mm-hmm. And that would be the dash 6 amendment. Discussion? Objection? Hearing and seeing none. Motion has passed. Now, Senator George moved the dash 6 amendments as amended into Senate Bill 764. Discussion. Now, Representative Lopez.
Thank you very much. you've heard my first phase of this song, but. And that's where my concern arises. I'm looking here at subsection 5, and it's encouraging. It says, shall also establish guidelines to ensure a continuation of grants to existing programs that demonstrate the following attributes, and so on, and gives the attributes. The other criteria established by the commission that come under these attributes that I am wondering how that would affect those people currently being served.
Madam Chair, if you go to Section 1 and you walk clear through the bill, the whole intent of the bill is to expand coverage. In other words, not deprive anyone of coverage, but actually add to the coverage. The very idea that we're going to be looking forward probably in this legislative session to an expansion of the total number of dollars that would be available will indicate that the whole purpose of that is to expand the number of people who could be served. And the very declaration, you know, starts off by talking about the fact that we have limited transportation choices and is necessary to address the unmet needs of these residents, indicating there that we would be meeting the already met, but also addressing unmet.
Mm-hmm.
John, is there anything that you can think of that would that we would in any way undermine, and we're locking everything for the next biennium in place as far as the first 10 million. And for additional millions, there is flexibility. But that's an expansion. That's more than.
Madam Chair and Senator George, you are correct about the $10 million that we have not, the bill does not change the distribution of that $10 million of the back of tax money. It's now within the Department of Transportation.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so that $10 million continues to serve through those same providers or will make the criteria.
For the next 2 years.
Mm-hmm. And then they take another look and see.
The commission then would look at all of the providers,
mm-hmm.
keeping in mind these criteria.
Because mm-hmm. we live in, you know, I know rural has its needs, but I serve a population in the urban district, and I'm very concerned about the people. So we all serve our own constituency.
Madam Chair, if I could really quickly, on page 2, when we look down at the makeup of the commission, you see that it is going to be very fair on the basis of population as far as the native members, because one of the sections of 5 members appointed by the Association of Regions, not more than one of these members appointed shall be resident of each congressional district. So the population centers, because of the fact that they do have more congressional districts, because population will be properly represented. And as far as that to me is a real balancing factor for the makeup of the board.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Any further discussion?
Senator George, you were referring on the original bill, section 3 on page 2 of the original bill.
That's correct. Did we change that?
Makeup.
No, we did not change. I just wanted to make
sure. We're sort of switching between.
Original bill. Page 2.
Madam Chair. So the $10 million tobacco money stays in the transportation department. What if there is more money coming from general funds for the senior and disabled population? Is that going to transportation or is that going to human resources?
Madam Chair, Senator Yee, my understanding, and we looked at this yesterday after the hearing, was that, or the work session, is that if there's additional money, it would go into the same fund, the Access to Public Transportation Fund, that this bill creates. However, that new money would be distributed based on these new criteria. And I'm looking to Senator George for confirmation of that.
And last night when I talked to leadership about how that would work, my understanding was is that this would be the framework for the additional dollars to come in, and they would then line up what you folks are ways and means to know more about this than me. They would then line up the new dollars to fit into this fund. Because we did talk about this bill last night with the Senate President.
So, Madam Chair, so this will go into the same pot of money as tobacco money?
Madam Chair, if I could clarify, please. Senator Yeaton, on the dash Sixth Amendment, page 6, it's referencing section 10. What it says is that notwithstanding the repeal
Section 10.
Mm-hmm. The Department of Transportation shall distribute 3/4 of the monies in the Access to Public Transportation Fund that are transferred to the fund under ORS 323455. That ORS 323 is the tobacco tax.
Mm-hmm.
So, in other words, it's taking the 3/4 of the tobacco tax money that are currently allocated through a formula grant, and retaining that for the next 2 years. But that does not apply to the whole fund. So if there are general funds that are added to the Access to Public Transportation Fund, they will be allocated according to this new mechanism that comes through in Senate Bill 764.
And this doesn't take anything out of the state revenue.
So it will come to the same pot. 3/4 of it will be kept in the pot, and 1/4 be given to all the local communities.
Madam Chair and Senator Yee,
grant.
Any new money will go into the Access to Public Transportation Fund. However, what Section 10 says is that 3/4 of the money that comes in from cigarette tax. Well, that's already there, $10 million. So 3/4 of that would be distributed in exactly the same way as it is today.
Mm-hmm.
The other quarter today is distributed through a grant mechanism, and that would I guess, fall subject to 764.
That was the way I thought they just grant all the function.
But it's already distributed on a basic
by the basic grant.
Okay.
So the new money will be treated the same, or the new money will be treated as that quarter of the pot?
Madam Chair, the new and Senator Yee, the new money would be treated as that quarter. In other words, handed out on the basis of proposals that the commission would then evaluate, make recommendations to the Department of Transportation, and then they would distribute the money according to those recommendations.
You got it, George. If you saw us whispering out here,
I want you to interpret that.
Okay. Yes.
The interpretation was yes, that currently there is 25% that's available by the grant process.
And the rest of the money is going to go into that.
So everything would be staying just exactly like it is currently within ODOT as far as how it's distributed. Part of it is for the population. And 25% goes out on the basis of a
main percentage of the additional $5 million would be 3/4?
No.
Okay, it would be in that 1/4, right?
The 1/4, okay. Move over to the 1/4.
All right. Okay.
And the whole idea of that is to expand the delivery, which the bill starts off by kind of like the preamble here.
Yeah.
It says that is what we intend to do,
expand
service to disabled seniors.
Any further discussion?
One more question.
Senator Vulcan.
Okay, we're talking here about 2 years. And what happens after 2 years? Why are we saying this goes for 2 years? Then do we come back to this again?
we're giving the commission time to get up and running and be more adept at delivering these things. That's my understanding. That is why, in making recommendations, that's why we're giving 2 years.
And at that end of 2 years, then we kind of should be assessing it again. Is that?
Madam Chair and Representative Loken, my understanding is that the provisions of 764 would apply.
Mm-hmm.
After 2 years, then the whole amount that is in this fund would be distributed through the grant process.
Okay, quickly here. Is the my understanding that there is still a relationship between ODOT and Transportation Commission and this commission, so you're not going to have all of a sudden ODOT saying, gee, we want to maintain a formula that distributes on population. You have the makeup of the commission being population-oriented too, part of it anyway. And so, therefore, you have a natural tendency to lean towards maintaining some sort of balance in the base of the population, because population centers are going to yell like crazy if it gets out of the balance anyway. So I think it has a mechanism set up to provide a balanced approach to maximize your service. And I hope everyone remembers that part. This bill is about increasing public service to seniors and disabled. I don't want to hurt anyone.
Okay, there is a motion, and we've had a discussion, and I would like to, will you call the roll?
No.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Aye.
No.
Aye.
Aye. The motion passes.
Madam Chair, I'd just like to make a little explanation. I share some of Representative Loken's concerns about, is this really just a mechanism by which services for urban elderly are transported to rural elderly. I think that we have a balance across the state. We all need that, and I hope that the commission will be looking at all the needs and that those advocates that are for seniors will be watching this to be sure there is a balance.
And I'll beg for I know from the advocates for seniors that I know they will be watching it, and I do believe there will be a balance the way it is set up.
Did we actually move the whole bill for the full committee?
I'm explaining why my no vote.
Can I get that question answered first? Did I move the bill?
I don't believe.
Okay, I am going to move Senate Bill 764 as amended to the full committee with a due pass recommendation. Is there a discussion? Senator Yee.
Madam Chair, I'm concerned that the small districts may not have the ability to apply for grants, and they will not get the kind of services they might need. So this may become the rich district become richer and the poor district become poorer.
Well, I hope that you will talk to the proponents of this bill, and by maybe even by the end of the session, you'll be convinced that that isn't the case. I don't think it will be the case, but I will allow those proponents to try to convince you that it is not the case. But I understand your concern, and I don't believe it will be the case, because that is not the intent at all. It actually will help, maybe even help the poorer ones, but we need to have a balance is what we need. Further discussion? Representative Corbett.
You know, I'm all for efficiency. I'm all for improving the way that we deliver services, and don't have any problem with that. I guess I still, though, in all this discussion, I still fail to see what is the problem that this bill is designed to fix. And if what we're going to end up with is a commission that's going to advise basically on the same line of distribution of money as we have now, I don't see why we would then add that extra layer of bureaucracy. I appreciate the amendment that deletes the involvement of DHR. I think that was really an unnecessary addition. I think we may be moving toward the right track, but I also share this concern that especially on page 2 of the bill, where first priority is given to those areas that have
either no service or non-existent service, that sounds to me like the areas that have service stand to be in jeopardy, and I don't think that's necessarily a good thing since they are receiving their funds on the basis of population now, and I think population is an adequate and fair way to distribute the money. So I appreciate the modifications, but I still don't see any to advance this bill.
Thank you. Is there, I note then Representative Strobeck's objection, Senator Yee's objection. Are there any further objections? Hearing and seeing none. Senator Fisher, will you carry it both on the Senate floor and the full committee? Senator Fisher will carry on the full committee. You can carry on the floor.
Okay.
And, with that, we are adjourned. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
We're
adjourned. Okay.